Congregation, the text for this morning is from Luke 2, the verses 6 and 7, the well-known verses about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, 6 and 7 of Luke 2. And so it was, that while we were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So far. The Nativity of God's Son, with the help of the Lord, six thoughts. The days accomplished. That's in verse 6. The days accomplished. God's days accomplished. Exactly on time. The days accomplished. Secondly, brought forth. That she should be delivered, and she brought forth. She brought him forth. She delivered him, the child, as all children are born. Thirdly, her firstborn son. Not her only son, her first son. In the foreplace, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Why? Did he need that? What's the meaning of that? That she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And five, laid him in a manger, so low, in a manger, in a feeding trough. How humiliating, how precious also. And six, no room in the inn. So the nativity of God's Son, the days accomplished, brought forth, firstborn son, wrapped in clothes, laid in a manger, no room in the inn. Congregation, there is no coincidence. Nothing happens by chance. Sometimes it looks like, oh, that's coincidental. That's by chance. We did not count on that. It's a surprise. I meet that person somewhere, so far away from home, we didn't plan this, and yet there's no coincidence. Ruth came on the field of Boaz. She just went there. She did not reason and count and think. She just went there, and by hap, she came on the field of Boaz. It was God's direction, not from her side, but God has all things under control. And nothing happens without his will. That's also true for the time the Lord Jesus born. Except on time when there was a taxing going on. And people had to register for tax purposes. As we see, in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So it was redirected to that. All things are in his hands. I read in Luke 12. But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. See how precisely God governs all things. Even our hairs are numbered. He knows exactly how many are on our head. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. I also came across this text, Isaiah, explaining God's sovereignty, his freedom, his control. He reigneth, his all things in his hands. Nothing happens too early, That is too late. The Lord is extremely organized. Extremely organized. Some people are always late, and some people are always on time or too early. The Lord is always exactly on time, not a second earlier or later. Isaiah 46. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel stand, and will do all my pleasure. My counsel shall stand, I do what I want, my sovereign will, exactly on time. It's organized. Sometimes you see a choir, right? And the director standing before the choir. Everything goes on time, and she indicates, no, this part, no, that part. Music is important. Time is important in music, right? And so the Lord is the great director. And all things happen exactly on time, like in music. Or like in an engine. There's a timing belt in an engine. Everything needs to go on time. So the Lord is always on time. That's also important for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, but under the law. The Lord wanted people to wait. Then he came in due time, at his time, at our time, his time. Or think of Ephesians and 1 Timothy, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In due time, things happen at God's time. That's also true for all the desires we have. And we pray for a boyfriend. We pray for a girlfriend. And pray for health, pray for this, pray for that. You have to keep in mind, the Lord is sovereign and free. He also, things happen at his time and his way. And so it was. We see the sovereignty of God in there. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished. So we need to be patient in adversity, to wait, like Moses. Moses thought, I can do this, I can deliver this people from their oppressors, and he slew an Egyptian. It was time now, high time to do something, and he acted. It was too early, had to wait 40 years until it was God's time. To humble him, to calm him down, to show him it's the Lord's way, the Lord's time, the Lord's will. And that's also for our birth. We're born exactly on time. Not too early, not too late. Our mothers thought, you know, he was early, he was late. It was God's time, our birth. And we also die exactly at God's time. Not 1 second too early or too late. His way, his time. The days are accomplished. We are so dependent upon the Lord in all things. Are we? Do you realize that? Are we patient following the Lord? I thought of the Heidelberg Catechism. Of Lord's Day 10 in this regard. I read to you. It's on page 38. About God's providence. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? The timing, the control, the providence of the Lord. The almighty and everywhere present power of God, thereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven and earth and all creatures, So the herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, rich and poverty, yet in all things come, not by chance, by his fatherly hand. The day is accomplished, God's time. Second thought. She brought forth a firstborn son. That is amazing. To bring him forth, to deliver him, she carried the child for 9 months, and the child had to, in the same simple way, had to come out. He had to be delivered. And it went the normal way. Nothing special to that. The pangs, the contractions, the pain, the stress on the child as well, and the Lord Jesus born like anyone else is born. Don't you have to think of Genesis 3:16? Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. The Roman Catholic Church has a twist on this. They say she wrapped him in something clothes herself, so apparently they're strong, it didn't have pain, it had contractions, it went so exceptionally easy because she was able to do that. That's this fantasy. He was born the same way as all people are born. And that's humbling, isn't it? A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish. The anguish, see that? For joy that a man is born into the world. So there's anguish and sorrow and pain. And Mary went through that. And the child was involved in that, also in the stress, had to come out. The Son of God. She brought him forth. Took upon himself a human nature. Became equal to his brethren in all things. Sin accepted. It's unreal. God is so merciful to give his only son this way into this world through a woman, through being delivered. So the Lord Jesus' body was also a regular body. He was born in the same way. He was not half God, half man. He was truly God in his divine nature. He was also truly man in his human nature and was born in Bethlehem with a normal body to save people's souls and bodies. The body as well. To save. Unto us a child is born, son is given. It sounds so simple. We all have a human nature. We are through and through human, aren't we? And the Lord Jesus Christ himself as well, in order to be a substitute. Remember all those reasons why the Lord Jesus had to become man? Let's go over them again. The Lord Jesus was born and took upon himself the human nature because we have sinned. And the Lord Jesus did not become an angel. He did not become a devil. He became human, not an animal, a human, to save humans. So unto us, people, humans, a child is born to save us. We may preach it to each other. But this child was born not in sin. He was brought forth without sin. He did not have that indwelling wickedness. He was that holy thing, the holy child, born in Bethlehem, in order to save people from their sins and to be a substitute for sin, a substitute for people. So he had no sin. And the Father could explain, could say to him, about him, I am well pleased in him. He's my beloved son. So he took the place to fulfill the law in order to suffer. He became man in order to die. To die. Christmas is about the human body that lives, is born, lives, and dies. The Lord Jesus came in Bethlehem, was brought forth, was born, only to die, also to rise from the dead and to take the body to heaven, and also to save the body for the future. Think of Job. Job speaks about his body. And he speaks about his own body with so much respect, and about the future of his body. Here it is. Job 19, verse 26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So his body is destroyed and decays, and yet out of his flesh I will see God. With his natural eyes he will see the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus was born to save the body of people and the soul both. He had a human body, a human soul. And someday, God's child will see him. It's Christmas. See him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. The future is hidden, is foggy. We don't exactly know what the future will be like for God's people in heaven, on the new earth. It's hidden, it's secret. So, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear in his body, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Looking forward to that time? To see the Lord Jesus Christ as he is, that same Jesus, he was born in Bethlehem, the same Christ, the same body, now immortal and glorified body, yet the same body. To see him like he is, the born child. That's heaven. That's everything. That's the true comfort, to see him like he is. So, the day's accomplished that she brought forth her firstborn son. Firstborn. You know why did it look right at? Because he likes to be precise. Think of chapter 1, the first four verses. It gives a reason why he writes his gospel. For as much as many have taken and to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses, and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So this physician, Luke was a doctor. He wanted to write the gospel very precisely, and did his utmost to find the witnesses, and spoke to many people, and interviewed people, and then he wrote his gospel and said, his firstborn son. Not only son, it was not Mary's only son, only her first son. And again, the Roman Catholic Church cannot digest that and says, Mary, the mother of more people? No, not that it cannot be. And the Bible says so. I read in Matthew 13, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then ask this man all these things? The Lord Jesus had brothers and sisters. You even know the names of some of them. So, how would it have felt to be the mother of Jesus, to be a brother of Jesus, to be a sister of him? That is so special, you think so? In a way it is. But think of the time the Lord Jesus was busy. He's preaching. And there was a knock on the door. And they said, behold, thy mother and thy brethren are standing without, desiring to speak with thee. The Lord Jesus at home. Someone knocked on the door, went to the door. His mother, his brothers, can we please talk to Jesus? You remember that story? And he answered and said, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he turned around and stretched forth his hand towards the disciples and said, behold, look, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Would you like to be the mother, the brother, the sister, the Lord Jesus Christ? It's possible. To be so close, part of the same family. The Lord Jesus pointed to his disciples. They're my brothers, my mother, my sisters. They're close, they have the same blood in our veins, the same grace. The Lord Jesus, not grace in a different sense, of course, that same love in the hearts. So seek that love. Seek that close to the Lord Jesus Christ. He became human, equal to his brethren in all things, sin excepted. Firstborn son, yes, but God's children are also sons of God. Not natural sons, but adopted sons. So the Lord Jesus was the firstborn son of Mary and the only begotten son of God. Only? In a sense, yes. In a sense, no. Because God has more children than only his son, Jesus Christ. Christ was his divine son from eternity, the only begotten son of the Father. And the Lord has also many adopted children. And he adopts sinners not because of any virtuousness in them, out of mere grace for his own merits, his own glory. So are you close to the Lord Jesus Christ? You need that true faith in him, right? That faith that looks upon him and sees all the beauty in him that we're missing. You have to come to your wits' end to yourself and see that you're worthy of being cast away, no family of the Lord himself at all, and despising him, looking away from him. Room needs to be made in the heart for him, for that same Jesus Christ. And see you wrapped in swaddling clothes. Next point. See it happening? Mary delivered the baby, and she herself, not Joseph, she herself, she took a strip of cloth and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger. Why did the Lord Jesus need clothes? Why is that necessary? Why is that important? In the first place, some make a mistake here and say this is an example of how poor they were. Well, even king's children were wrapped in clothes. They did not have baby clothes. It was normal to do this, to wrap them tight against the cold, against drafts, against dangers in cloth. So why? As I said before, Mary could do this herself. She was strong and young. But why? Well, like all mothers know, children can be sick, right? Can become sick. Can catch a cold. Really? Is that why the Lord Jesus Christ had to wear those cloths? He could get a cold, could get sick, he could die? Yes. The Lord Jesus took upon himself the normal, regular human nature, and if he wanted to, yes, he could prevent it as well, of course. He could get a cold, he could suffer a disease. So the Lord Jesus Christ was really not only similar, not only in appearance similar, he was a true man and suffered. He could be tired and sleepy and sad and hungry, and also catch a disease. So that's why we call the first step of the humiliation is humble birth. How humble this birth was. But there's another reason why people wear clothes, right? Adam and Eve before the fall did not wear clothes. There was no shame, no curse, there was no danger. What was normal was holy. And after the fall, they felt naked. And the Lord gave them fig leaves to be dressed. And it became the norm to dress yourself properly because of sin, because of shame, because of danger, because of indecency. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was dressed as if he was a sinner, indicating something of the curse of the law. He was willing to bear that curse and to take the curse away. So I don't want to take it too far. But the Lord Jesus Christ being dressed means that we have to dress ourselves properly. If he was willing to be dressed properly, we also need that same example, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Reminds us also of something else. I think of Romans 13. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. See? So putting on the Lord Jesus Christ as a coat, as a cloak, as a mantle, being dressed with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and make no provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So that's important. How are you dressed? Are you dressed with the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Is he your dress? Is he your cloth? He was clothed. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in the manger to save you from the sins. And now he offers his clothes, his righteousness, his holiness to be dressed. He offers that for people to be dressed properly, so they would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Brings to the next thought. Was it a cave? Was it a stable? Caravansera? Was it downstairs in the inn? We don't exactly know. What we know is he laid in a manger, in a feeding trough. How humbling. Animals had been eating out of it, and now the Lord Jesus lies in there, in a manger, not in a cradle, like our babies, beautifully dressed, in the most beautiful cradles, expensive. But this Jesus laid in a manger, in most humble, poor circumstances. And I think there's something special to that. I don't think it's an accident, is it? The Lord Jesus laid in a manger. It indicates something like this. He is the true meat and drink himself. True meat and drink himself. The Lord Jesus wants to be eaten. Is that the meaning? He is the true meat and drink. I thought of John 6. I am. Think of him in the manger. Hopefully someone begins to eat today. Out of the trough, out of the manger. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, laid in the manger. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh in the manger, which I will give for the life of the world. Hungry? Go to the manger, bow your head, and eat and drink without money, without price. It's free. All that manger is on the floor, on the ground. Not high up there, like we have feed for horses, so high up, you can reach them. It's so low on the ground. Is that the meaning? We know that we don't have to reach far and go far. It is so close by to save the little ones, to save them that cannot reach so high, to save them that are unworthy of life. So sinners may come to the manger. I think of those beautiful verses. Oh, you're thirsty. Come to the manger. Eat and drink. Come to the manger. I think John 3:16, so God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever comes to the manger, would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what they're in need of. There's no other Savior than him. What are we eating? Do we eat from the manger? Everyone that is thirsty, come to the waters, come to the manger to seek salvation only in him. May it please the Lord to take your hand and heart and say, come, you sinner, you unworthy one, you come to the manger to be brought there like these shepherds came and bend down and looked upon him, the Savior Jesus Christ. That's Christmas, to be led to the manger this morning and to eat and drink. Again, that text. That's Christmas. I am the living bread, Bethlehem, bread house. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, right? He came down from heaven, was laid in the manger by Mary, also the Lord himself. He laid him in the manger. From heaven he came. So undeserved for the surprise, the God's time. If any man, any woman, any child, eat of this bread, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the bread, he shall live forever. He won't die, and death, there'll be an end into life eternal. And the bread that I will give, he gives it in the preaching, in the hearts of these people, is my flesh, which I will give to the life of the world. The world. Are you the world? You can't come further than, oh, I am the world. I'm not God's people. I'm not saved. I'm not converted. I can only say, I am the world. The world, that's me. The ungodly, wicked world, that's my heart. He has come to save the world, to save sinners from their sins. I hope you have seen yourself as the world, because there was no room for him in the inn. Some Bible stories go too far. Some children's Bibles and pictures show you an innkeeper. And they come to the door and knock. Innkeeper opening the door, being rude to them. That is not in the Bible. That's mere fantasy. You just have no use for those things. Let's give you the Bible. It only says there was no room for him in the inn, which is humbling enough. So I think it's the caravansera. On the first floor, people slept. On the main floor, the animals. There was no room for him upstairs, so they went downstairs. It might have been a cave as well. It was a place of animals. That's where they went. There was no room in the inn. And people didn't know and did not understand who he was either. He was hiding his nature. He was hiding his divinity. Yet, so people didn't see it. No room in the inn. Humbling. The Lord Jesus came at God's time. The Lord Jesus came. It's the normal way being delivered. As the firstborn son. They wrapped the son in clothes, laid in a manger, there was no room in the inn. One more thing. May I invite you to the manger this morning? Come close to the manger. Look at the child. Look at the eyes. In his divine nature, this child looks you in the face. He says, look at you. This child is in his divine nature, smiles at you and says, if you find me, you find life. That's an invitation, you understand that. In the manger, this child looks upon us. Whosoever believes in me shall not perish. Have everlasting life. Any man, it said in John 6, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. You may come. So think of those eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at you in the gospel, in the invitation, in the calling, the outward call of the gospel. Think of those eyes. Hear his voice. Seek me. And live. Hear his voice. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will hear thee. Seek him and live. That's life. That is Christmas, to find the child in the manger. Don't seek salvation in anyone else, but in self. Don't seek the joy in sin in the world. Seek it only in Him. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that any man eat thereof and not die. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, except, that's a strong expression, except ye eat this flesh of the Son of God and drink of his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eat my flesh and drink of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Not hungry? You know, one thing or the other. There are two ways this morning. You go home, but two ways. You despise this child, or you truly believe in this child. What is it? You answer. There is no other option. What is it? You despise him, or you love him. You're hiding your face, looking the other way stubbornly, or you look at him, beholding the Lamb of God. There's no other way. And by God's grace, there's a people that looks, that drawn by the Spirit. And by our foolishness, others still look the other way. And that will make our condemnation the heavier. Having heard about the Son of God, having seen those eyes, having heard the voice, having heard the warnings, and the preaching on that, the child is born. What will it be to fall in the hands of the living God if we have ignored such salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? Come, congregation, the manger is low, and sinners are welcome, without money, without price. Amen. O Lord, we don't see it by nature. We don't see the need of it. We kind of know, we don't know. It does not sink in, and we just live on and on and enjoy life to the best of our knowledge and keep ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, oh, change the hearts this morning. Make people truly hungry and thirsty for the living God, for the true meat and drink in the Lord Jesus Christ, and give the courage and the faith to come, finally come with empty hands to the manger and touch the hem of his garment. Lord, we acknowledge thee for thy gift of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we receive not only outwardly in our doctrine, but inwardly in the hearts, as our Savior Jesus Christ. Give, Lord, that faith, that complete trusting in him, relying on him entirely, taking away, then the fear will be taken away by that. Forgive the shortcomings, and with us the rest of this day. Give us also a desire to come tonight again to church, to celebrate again together the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help the elder officiating. In Jesus' name alone, amen.